Hey guys, this is the DSJNP.com WrestleCast for this week. Week 10, episode 10. Enjoy it. I hope you enjoy. We have a little surprise afterwards. And the name of this C.O.C. whatever AWWIR. If you listen to it, you know what I'm talking about. We've got Chevy on this week, Rocky Mountain High on this week. We have a great, fantastic time talking about all kinds of stuff, even some stuff outside of wrestling, some interests we have, some really, really fun stuff. I hope you guys enjoy it. Please contact us, facebook.com/DSJNP, Twitter, DSJNP.com, and GSJNP.com@gmail.com. Hope you enjoy. Have a great week.
I'll get the guns, the drugs from my generation. I'll take the fall, the state, and across the nation. And it's a sin, the guns, the freak, the fraud, the messing with me. Come on, let's get it out.
Welcome to the DSJNP. If you can't guess from a long name, we don't talk wrestling.
My call this week is terrible. I was really pressed for time, and I didn't edit it very well, and my voice sounds really weird. I recorded it outside in a windy parking lot, and I was kind of whispering into the mic. I wish I could take it back. Oh, well.
I didn't really know what I was going to do, because I had, like, this running list on my phone, and, like, it's, like, 12 deep of, like, creative ideas.
Oh, that's a great idea, Chevy.
But I didn't know which one to pick, and none of them were, like, timely. And like I was getting annoyed with Cesaro and Heyman, and then his music hit, and then I was like, "Fuck it, I'm calling about this. I can't. This isn't right."
My call this week was mostly about John Cena. Actually, if you guys want to believe that, it was really about John Cena. It's the craziest thing. I was just watching Raw, and I was just like chilling. I was thinking about some. I got a bunch of like names for wrestling segments that I was coming up with this, trying to come up with for like a permanent thing on this podcast. And I was just like thinking, okay, what can I talk about? And I was like, let me talk. I kind of want to talk about the WWE subscriptions a little bit more in depth. Like we kind of got into last week. RMH, we kind of got into it, but we really didn't. So I kind of wanted to talk about that a little bit. But then I was like, you know what? Cena kind of lit a fire under my ass when I was watching him fight. And I got this long diatribe that I just started writing about how Cena is the face of the company. He needs to act more like it or something. And he needs to, I just went on this long diatribe. And I never thought I would even talk about Cena ever. And I just...
Well, that's cool because nobody does except in passing.
Yeah. I don't know. I think John Cena is honestly... there's stuff I would rather see him do for me. I think he's doing the right thing for the WWE, which is he's their one guy who people outside of wrestling know. And yeah, helps draw people into the product.
Yeah, did you listen after you left Chevy last week? Did you listen to it?
Yeah, I listened to it.
This is me talking about watching Top Gear UK and them in Bulgaria, and Cena's written on the back of one a Ferrari or a Jaguar or something because the little kid did it. Holy crap, that guy is everywhere. He's like Hogan. He's just like Hogan.
It's why he wins at Mania, because people go all the people that only watch a couple times a year are watching.
Oh, it's so I can't tell you how disappointed I was when he won at Mania.
I was trying to deny it, but like I knew in the back of my head. Even
I know, dude. The whole time I'm like, please lose. Please stay down.
I had a short little segment in my call this week about Cena, basically saying I felt sorry for him. I only got to see a little bit of it in a little bit of Raw this week.
You felt sorry for the vote, didn't you?
No, I didn't even get to the vote.
All right.
I had to turn off the TV before that. But it was kind of early in the show, and he was doing this video promo where he was trying to act like he was scared or intimidated or whatever by Bray Wyatt.
Yeah. It was trying to get everybody to vote.
And it just was not happening. And I thought, well, you know, that's a tough role to play, right? To pretend to be intimidated by a guy that you're not intimidated by. And I don't know. I just wasn't buying it. But I actually had sympathy for the guy.
I don't really want to ruin it. But anyway, We'll move on. So we got a couple segments this week. Keeper toss, which is the two up, two down, or one up, one down. What would you keep in Raw to improve or go further on? And then what would you get rid of or cut, or how would you improve of something that you didn't like over in general? Commentators say the craziest thing, because JBL was nuts this week. He went cuckoo this week. Character in the details. It's this. This week we're doing Cesaro. We're gonna do talk about his music. Heyman, good or bad for him. Sami Zayn with NXT career strength. His strength, his wrestling ability, mic skills. Anything else you guys want to talk about? Then we're gonna do the best of the week. What you guys think was actually the best of the week, whether it be NXT, TNA, SmackDown, Raw, whatever. What do you guys think was best in those programs? And then again, the last part is the free for all. Whatever you guys want to talk about. So. This week, what do you guys want to keep or get rid of? Chevy, why don't we go to you? What in Raw would you keep? Or, I mean, anything. SmackDown, Raw, doesn't matter. What would you keep? What segments would you keep? And then maybe expound upon. And then what segments would you just completely get rid of? Or, if you want to, pick a segment that you'd like to fix.
The first good thing, I'm going to take a really easy underhand pitch and say Wade Barrett.
What? His match or just in general?
What?
His match or just in general?
Match, character. I think he'll become like a much better character where like now that like once he starts developing a wrestling program where he starts trolling people to where like whenever they have like his future opponent has a match, he's gonna like get on his podium during their match and start ranting and giving bad news.
Oh, that would be awesome. Oh, that would be so, I never even thought about that. That would be so cool. You think they're gonna do that?
I hope so. He did it to a match on SmackDown one time, I remember.
Which match on SmackDown?
I can't. It was weeks ago when he like, or months ago when he like couldn't rest compete because of his visa or whatever.
What? Okay, yeah. What happened to Wade Barrett? What? I don't know. So a lot of people don't know what happened to Wade Barrett.
He had some kind of visa issue, and he wasn't allowed to like.
Okay.
Like legally, wrestling is considered like a sport, and like you have to be like certain states, you have to be registered, and like people from overseas have to be like have to have like some kind of paperwork done.
They have to have a work. He needs a work visa.
It's yeah, but it's more than that because like he still had his like some kind of work visa because he's still over here working for the WWE. But.
Yeah, so it's something a little bit more detailed.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So you would improve upon him how?
I wouldn't. That's something that's fine. I would keep it.
Okay, you just keep it and just keep going with it as long as you can.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. What about Toss? What would you get rid of this week or last week or whatever?
The two things, and they're probably too late to Toss, but are how supposedly Cesaro and Ryan are getting pushed, but their storyline and treatment is crap.
Okay. All right. So how would you improve that?
I wouldn't have... See, this is why it's too late. I wouldn't have Daniel Bryan wrestling Kane at Extreme Rules.
Yep. Too late.
Oh, wow. You got one of the biggest WrestleMania moments. And all the top heels are going to be wrestling other people. So screw you. And then I guess I can wait to talk about Cesaro and go on my rant.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. We can wait on Cesaro. All right, Rocky Mountain High. What you got, man? What are you going to keep? What are you going to get rid of? Either on Raw, SmackDown, NXT, TNA, whatever you want.
Well, I'm so behind on my viewing, I'll just talk about Raw.
Okay.
I would get rid of this insane timing of commercial breaks.
Oh, my God. You and I were, like, flipping out last night, dude.
Oh, God. I mean, they got one guy who can really talk in the company, and so they take a break right smack in the middle of his promo. And then they come back in the middle of the promo, too. There's no kind of ramp in or ramp out. And the same with the matches. You got these terrific tournament matches going on for the Intercontinental Belt, and they just break right in the middle of it. Thinking, what in the hell are you guys thinking?
Yeah, they took a break really weird right as Paul Heyman started to talk. And I don't know if that was an accident or not, but then they took another one after the match got started, like 5 minutes into the match. Like, yeah, and they weren't like quick breaks, like a really quick, like two commercials and they came back or three. It was like a good 2 minute commercial break. And then they came back and we're like, I don't even know what's going on. I just spent 4 minutes outside of my wrestling this week. What the hell?
And especially in a tournament match, it's one thing if it's kind of a throwaway match, but I mean, you've got some consequences to the match, and then you just go away. Very weird. So I'd get rid of that. Boy, I have a lengthy list of things to toss and things to keep, but that. Go ahead.
About Sandow, that's I've been arguing on the chat or arguing with people for months now. They don't agree with me that about why I don't like Sandow's character. I love the wrestler; he's a great worker, but like his character is kind of made to be that skipped over on TV because mm-hmm. his character is pretty much just come out, say bad things about the city, and get cheap heat. Usually,
you talking about
Sandow?
Oh yeah, Sandow. Yeah.
He had some more interesting stuff early in his career, and it sort of devolved into that.
I think last Raw, he made a really pretty good impact. Last Raw, with the Big Show, and he was talking to the Big Show and stuff. I thought that was a really good segment. I was like, they should keep that up. They should let him.
I think there's a lot of mileage left in that gimmick if they let him run with it properly.
Yeah, maybe he, instead of being the like aristocrat jerk off or whatever, maybe they should like lead into being the more of the asshole, you know? Instead of, you know, maybe toe that line or walk that edge between aristocrat and really, really just being mean to people, you know. But maybe that'll fall too much into the Wade Barrett thing. I don't know.
Well, and the way you traditionally build a heel like that, especially a real arrogant, puffed up guy like that, is you have him berate people and cheat and be a coward and all those things, and you just build and build, and eventually some face kicks the shit out of him and everybody loves it, right?
Yeah.
But it takes a while to do that, and at the moment they're too intermittent, I think.
Yeah, I would totally agree.
Well, and then he comes out, and the guy was like, you cheated in the match, the third straight match, you cheated. And he goes, I didn't get caught because I'm smarter than you.
Yeah, there you go. But I was really digging the Sandow last week, and then this week we didn't even see him. And Ziggler's on the post and pre-show this week. We didn't even see Ziggler this week at all because Daniel Bryan had to get beat up for 10 minutes before Raw started.
He has to wait for Miz to get back.
I'll tell you, as bad as I feel for Sandow, who's just been buried for, you know, months now, how about Drew getting pinned by a midget?
Oh my God. Oh, you know what? Well, hang on. We'll get to that. Let me finish this one real quick. Let me finish this segment real quick. Okay. No.
Yeah. So what would I keep?
Yeah.
Boy, so many things. The tournament matches have been great.
So you think we should still be doing that? You think they should do that with the tag team? You think they should do that?
Yeah. You know, I'm not sure. I mean, it's doing so much for the IC belt that was invisible. Makes me wonder about the US title. That's invisible too.
Dude, I just forgot about the U.S. title.
have you seen that the graphic that someone put on the internet where it's a tournament for the U.S. title and it's just Dean Ambrose running in 8 times?
Yes. He's in every slot.
Does he still carry the belt at? I didn't see the belt on him this week. I don't even think he carries the thing anymore.
No, I think it's just kind of gone away. A de facto unification of the mid-card belts, right?
Crap, that's what I should have talked about. I'm like, you guys noticed that Dean Ambrose? You know, last week I was talking on the AWWIR, I was talking about, you know, you guys haven't noticed that Bray Wyatt's not at any of these meetings or any of these group gatherings, have you? But how about the UFC, U.S. title that hasn't been, we haven't seen the U.S. title since WrestleMania. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, it's really weird, but I think they have stumbled on to something with this tournament that has worked out really well. So hey, why not try it again?
I agree, man. I really did enjoy this tournament. So you want to keep the tournaments going? Essentially, is what you want to do?
Yeah.
Or at least.
And I agree with Chevy. I think Barrett's gimmick is all of a sudden great, and it's very entertaining to watch.
Absolutely. I totally agree. He should have won. I really do agree that he should have won and moved on. I think they're going to give him the title again, and I hope he does better this time with it. I really do hope he does better.
He did
better
win.
Time. Yeah, but no, I hope he beats Big E.
He probably will.
Yeah, I hope so. I really do, because I'm Big E. They try. Oh, my God. He was such a disaster today. I mean, yesterday. Oh, man, he was so bad yesterday on the mic. Oh, God. Talking to, was he talking to Renee? He was so bad trying to explain himself. I don't even know what a kind of disaster that was, but it was really bad.
I don't know. I already fixed this problem for WWE. They just got to listen to me.
Yeah, I agree. I agree with your, you said give him to Heyman, right?
Booker T.
Oh, yeah, Booker T. Yes, that is a genius idea. Yes, give him the Booker T.
Yeah.
And then have Booker T count two more times on the slap the mat two more times after the ref's done. Yes, absolutely.
And I may be in a minority of one, but I think Miz could be a good heel manager as well for these guys who can't talk.
Miz would be a great heel manager if he got the fire back under his ass.
I agree. Yeah.
The same guy. He needs to get the mohawk back because it made you want to punch him in the face.
The faux hawk?
Oh, it was perfect for his character. It was.
Yeah, it was. It really was perfect for his character. All right, so I would definitely improve upon the Cesaro RVD match. That match was saved by Cesaro because I don't know what the hell RVD was doing at the beginning of the match, but he couldn't pick a spot to save his life. And you know RVD was calling the spots in that match. You know he was.
Dude, it was the day after 420.
Oh, my God. I don't know what the hell was going on.
Did he botch the neutralizer?
He botched almost everything. No. He didn't botch. No, he didn't botch the neutralizer.
I was trying to figure out if that was supposed to be a power bomb.
No.
Or a neutralizer, because Cesaro looked like he was caught completely off guard and did more of the jackknife thing where he just picked him up and dropped him immediately.
He did. I think it was supposed to be, from what I understand, it looked like it was supposed to be a power bomb, I think, but Cesaro was just like, forget it, we're just gonna start from scratch.
He was bent like he was doing the neutralizer, yeah, which confused me.
But RVD, literally the first three spots in the match, RVD blew. He just couldn't get it together. I don't know what happened. He just couldn't get it together. And so RVD moving on, to me, was not a good idea. I knew it was going to happen. We talked about it last week. All three of us talked about it, how Jack Swagger was going to come out and interrupt that match. Did we or did we not?
Yeah, most likely.
We did talk about it. And for some reason, they're going to fight on SmackDown instead of the Extreme Rules.
Oh, it'll be a DQ for one of them, and they'll fight it.
Yeah, I agree. Now, the only thing I did like the fact that RVD actually spoke and said something to Paul Heyman about how Paul Heyman likes to watch your wallet. You need to watch your wallet around Paul Heyman or whatnot. I did enjoy that the after match interview. I really did enjoy that. Although Cesaro was better than Paul Heyman at that time. If you guys go back and watch it, Paul.
Yeah, I think Cesaro's getting ready to fly on his own here. And
I agree.
Plenty of people need Heyman's help.
Yes.
Well, then what was the point of putting him with Heyman in the first place?
I don't know.
It might have been for Heyman's sake because Barack was going to go away for a while. I don't know.
I don't think so. Based on that interview, Rocky, that you and I, even the second one that you and I were listening to, I don't think so. I think it was really they want to put him up front and they don't trust Cesaro on the mic. He's been so good so far.
He could just come out and start yelling Brock Lesnar beat the streak, whatever he wants. He doesn't need a wrestler for that.
He did. He did it on SmackDown.
Yeah.
He did it on SmackDown. He literally came out on SmackDown, and that is all he said on SmackDown. And it's like they were redoing that, but during a commercial break. So I know we didn't miss anything during the commercial break, Rocky. See, I know we didn't.
It was so weird.
It was so weird. I would improve that match by removing RVD and placing Dolph Ziggler in his place instead, because RVD can't wrestle anymore, obviously.
That would have been a great match.
Yeah, it would have been it would have been an amazing match. And RVD just his back is too beat up. It's just like Rey Mysterio. He just needs to go. Don't get me wrong. I appreciate what they've done for the company. I appreciate what they've done for wrestling. It's just time for them to go. It really is. I'm sorry. I said it. There it is. What do I want to keep? I definitely want to keep Paige where she's at. I thoroughly enjoy Paige, and I thoroughly enjoyed the ass whooping she gave Oksana, which they spell with an A, I realized the other day. I realized yesterday that they spell that with an A, which I'm not sure if that's supposed to be spelled with an A. I'm pretty sure it's supposed to be spelled with an O, right, guys?
Well, she's not an Oksana.
But don't they spell that? Okay, I could be wrong. I'm not really good with spelling.
It's spelled AK.
Is it really?
Yeah.
I thought it was spelled okay for some reason. I don't, anyway, I'm showing my smartness off anyway. But what I would love to keep that. I like Paige exactly where she's at. I like the fact that she's getting better every single. It's like watching a star in development that is already popular. Every time she screamed out loud, the crowd responded, which that crowd sucked last night. It was awful. They weren't getting chants together. They weren't. Oh, my God. They were so bad last night. So
we need to get her an entrance.
Yes, I agree. We need to get her an entrance, maybe some pyro or some flames. Flames would be good for her.
The one I like, and I saw this in Japanese ones, and I always think it's cool, is you have like a bunch of like smoke, and she goes out, and you know she's there, but you can't actually see her, mm-hmm. and she's standing on the side, like standing like among some like fans, and when her music drops, there's like that certain point, like those fans kick on, all of a sudden all the smoke blows away, and then Paige is standing there.
Oh, that's cool. That would be perfect for her. Oh, yeah, I like that. I like that. I might have to build. I wonder if I can build that on my 2K15 or 2K14. I totally agree. They should keep building Paige up. I don't know what the – I guess they're going to tell us next week what the stipulation with the title match is going to be against Snuka.
Do Divas ever have title stipulations?
I don't know. They should. I mean, with Lita and Trish, they did. So, I mean
– what could you put on it that would, like, unless it was a ladder match, I'm not going to believe anything. Like, make if she goes no DQ with Tamina Snuka and wins somehow, it's going to just scream bullshit and fake.
Do you know how cool that would be if it was a ladder match? How cool would that be if it was a female ladder match?
It would be cool.
That'd be the first. Is that the first female ladder match that we would see?
TNA Knockouts did it last year.
Oh, TNA. Who gives a shit about TNA? Nobody knows about TNA.
Well, it'd be cool if the girls are up to it.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah,
but I'd hate to see, you know, with the experience level and the, you know, the athleticism of some of the girls, I don't know, it might take them a while to get to that point.
Yeah, when Oksana was beating up Paige, I was, and you can ask Chevy, I was so worried about Paige getting hurt. I was like, don't you freaking hurt this girl. She just got her due. Do not hurt this girl. I was so worried.
You know, Oksana is like a 2-year-old with a chainsaw. You just know it ain't going to end well.
All right. Coming on to the moving on to the crazy commentators say the craziest things. Because JBL, during that 3MB versus Los Matadores match, said you know the office told him, okay, JBL, you got to pump this match up. It's on Raw now. It's not on SmackDown. It's on Raw. We have to make this interesting, and so you have to say crazy stuff. One of the things he said, gore, 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 gore. He went crazy. The other thing I heard King say was, during the Paige versus Oksana match, the King says, do they have the sun in England? Making fun of how white Paige was.
That's actually a serious question.
Well, being a fan of goth chicks, not happy. Okay? Okay?
No, like, England is seriously like a country, and I'm sorry if I offend your viewers, but they don't get sun.
They don't get sun. You're right.
That's
no,
why my, H is in Spain right now.
Yeah. Yeah. No, my best friend is from London, and he is very white, and I am very white, and I do not like the sun. All of my windows are covered up with either blankets or blinds or something.
You really are a vampire.
I try.
No wonder he likes the vampire wrestling.
Exactly. So, do you guys have anything written down for what they said this week? Because it was a pretty crazy week this week of what they said. I mean, last week was pretty foreshadowing. Oh, the injustice of it all, and then the Shield shows up, and then now this week they just said oh my God, they weren't talking about anything in front of them.
Oh, I skipped 3MB and Los Matadores.
I didn't catch the gore thing. I laughed at that, and I was actually looking around for Rhino. I thought, oh my God, is another TNA star, you know, gone
jumping
over. But that was funny, you know, and you normally don't hear announcers going to other promotions chants and things like that. Mm-hmm. It just seemed a little weird, but it was funny at the time. I didn't think it was, you know, completely out of place except for the business aspect.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I mean, I guess what he meant was gore, as in, because that's what they call when the bull takes his horn and stabs it through you.
Right.
I guess what's right. It's just so bad. It was, I don't know why they thought that would work on Monday Night Raw. I just don't know why.
To be fair, El Torito is probably the most marketable star of all the people in the ring in that match.
Hornswoggle was pretty over for a while. He was pretty popular for a long while. He really was.
Last cruiserweight champion.
Exactly. All right. So nobody else has anything for the craziest things the commentators say?
I tune out commentators during matches.
Well, Rocky Mountain High and I had a long diatribe last week about how crappy the commentators were.
Oh, they are.
Yeah. You know, I try to focus on the good parts, but like I've said many a time, WWE does a whole lot of things great, but their commentating and their storyline continuity is just so bad.
The whole time.
That commentary, is just right in your face, and you can't avoid it.
God, the whole time, I'm just like, oh my God, call a move. I was watching, my brother told me to watch No Way Out, 1990, In Your House 7, 1996. And I watched it, and the commentating, even by McMahon, is so good compared to what we have now. It's just, it was one of those times that JR left the company for some reason or another, and then it was just King and Vince, and it was so good where McMahon actually said snapmare. And I was like, what? He called a move. I was like ecstatic how he called a move. I'm watching this and I'm like, holy crap, McMahon just called a move. Oh my God, this is crazy compared to what we have now. Now we couldn't get a move called if we paid them $5 to do it.
Yeah, we talked about that last week, that we've got these three commentators who are, none of whom are in the play-by-play role. And that's what's missing, right? You've got the advertisement kind of role, and you've got the color role, and then you have the random jokester role.
Yeah.
But the play-by-play is missing. And I think if they could put that in, I think it would go a long way. It doesn't seem like it would be that hard a thing to add. But I guess, you know, every second they call play by play is the second that they're not shilling another program or whatever.
Well, it's the funny thing is that that's how I used to talk to my friends in high school. I used to be like, hey man, did you see that, you know, did you see that double suplex or the suplex I did the other day? Or did you see the hip toss or the, you know, the scorpion deathlock or, you know, stuff like that. That's how I used to talk to my friends in high school, you know? I mean, these kids are going to grow up and they're not going to know what a snapmare is or a fireman's carry or something like that, you know? And I'm like, that move that they do where they hook arms or like, I mean, that's crazy.
Well, and Gorilla Monsoon used to go into the anatomy a lot and explain why a hold was painful.
Yeah.
Or how it would immobilize you or whatever. It was funny when he and Heenan were commentating together, which they did for a long time. Monsoon would be the straight man with all this technical terminology, would half of which was probably made up. And Heenan was like in the Lawler role, you know, just responding with these nonsensical jokes and stuff. It was a good, it was kind of a good cop, bad cop thing. It was kind of funny.
Yeah, it was. I remember hearing some Raws with them and going, wow, this is actually kind of funny. This is kind of silly. That's what you get here on the WrestleCast from DSJNP from Rocky Mountain High. You get history, folks, because he's kind of old. moving on to the characters in the details. We're going to talk about Cesaro this week, guys. Music, new or old music, which ones do you guys like? Like for 2 weeks in a row, he didn't have any music. I don't remember his old music, and his new music is crappy, in my opinion. So, Chevy, what do you think, man? What do you think about his music?
It's crappy.
Yeah, okay. That's what I thought.
We lost the old man. He fell asleep.
Did we really? Yeah. Did we just lose him?
Yeah, I heard the noise.
No, he's right there.
I don't see him.
No, he's not. Hang on.
I can't hear him.
I'm calling him back.
Anyways.
Yeah, that's all right.
So I talked about this on AWWIR. He has the music of all the generic rock riffs they use on TNA.
Yeah. Yes, you're right.
Which is sad because if you go back a year ago.
Yeah, you're back. You're back, Rocky.
If you go back a year ago, the music was maybe the only thing they were doing right with Cesaro when they changed it.
Yeah.
Great music.
I don't remember any music for Cesaro. I don't remember anything for Cesaro before now, and I'm glad I don't, because Cesaro is so good now.
I'll send you his old theme.
Okay. All right, send it to me. Rocky, what do you think about Cesaro's new music, man? Just debuted yesterday.
So I hate the new music itself, but I love the idea that they're using music now, and I got to believe Heyman was involved in that.
Oh, yeah, that sounds like Heyman. Although, coming from the JR podcast, we know that Heyman, that they have one guy that does all the music for the WWE talent.
Right, Jim Johnson.
Correct. Yeah. So go ahead,
but
Rocky.
But I think the notion of getting him music... I suspect Heyman really pushed that, because I doubt if it was a coincidence that it happened, you know, very soon after Heyman got a hold of him. So, yeah, they got the music wrong, but at least they're going in the wrong direction by getting him music. So I'm optimistic. I think in a week or two that'll all be sorted out.
You think so? You think they're going to change it, or you think we're just going to get used to it?
No, they'll change it. They'll come up with something good.
Oh, okay. All right. So Heyman, good or bad? We were talking about a little bit for Cesaro. Was Heyman good or bad? I think Heyman was good at first, but then when I started hearing Cesaro actually talk again, I was like, wait a minute, he's fine. Why does he need Heyman? He's just fine on his own. He doesn't need Heyman anymore. So Rocky, what do you think, man?
Yeah, I'm cautiously optimistic that he can talk on his own. I got to believe that there's a reason they're not letting him talk on his own very much. Somebody must not have confidence. Maybe they've just been so burned by Big E that they don't want to, you know, make that same mistake again. I don't know.
So, Big E burnt them so bad, dude. Oh, so bad. Chevy, what do you think, man?
I just don't get the point. I mean, I saw it immediately happening when he came out on the Raw after crowd, which is only that, or the, I mean, sorry, the WrestleMania, post-WrestleMania Raw, that's mm-hmm. the only crowd that's going to pop with Paul Heyman. So, because of Paul Heyman, I'm not really sure if he's heel or face, because he's getting booed a lot against old man RVD.
Yeah.
And Paul Heyman is not putting over Cesaro. He's just out there screaming, my client, Brock Lesnar, beat the streak.
Yeah, I don't know why. I don't know why they're mixing him together. I don't know why they're mixing those. They shouldn't mix those. When he came out on when Heyman came out on SmackDown, he wasn't with Cesaro. I mean, he came out and he wasn't with Cesaro. Then he came back and Cesaro wrestled and he was with Cesaro. But I don't know why they're mixing the two. I think they're really trying to turn Cesaro heel.
I'm not so sure. To me, that promo where all he did was repeat over and over about how his client beat the streak, mm-hmm. that was about getting himself over as a heel.
Yeah.
And to a much lesser degree, getting Brock over as a monster.
Yes. Yes. Absolutely. That whole thing, I agree with that. So, but if you get Heyman over as a heel, and now he's doing it with Cesaro, what's going to happen?
Cesaro breaks away because he's a babyface and doesn't want to be associated. I mean, who knows, right? They could go that way.
I mean, there's a saving grace if they parlay this into a match with Brock Lesnar somehow.
I don't know if they're going to parlay him into Brock Lesnar.
It'd be one of those matches where Brock Lesnar wins, and so he keeps his momentum. But if Cesaro puts on a great match and throws him around, then Cesaro can get a semi rub from the match.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. So we're going to go over Cesaro's career a little bit. He was, he's 33. He's a little bit older than me. He's born in 1980. Antonio Cesaro, currently performing underneath the name Cesaro because, you know, Antonio. A Swiss, he's actually from Sweden. Professional wrestler. He wrestled in Japan Pro Wrestling, independent promotions, Ring of Honor. He was an accomplished tag team wrestler, which most people actually start out as tag team wrestlers because that's how you cut your chops. That's how you learn. You tag with the more experienced partner or whatever, and then you cut your chops that way. He was a two-time ROH World Tag Team Champion. With his partner, Chris Hero, as Kings of Wrestling, 364-day reign of champions, longest in the company history. So he has the longest tag team run in ROH history. That's pretty cool. He's a JCW tag team champion, which is Japan Championship Wrestling, right, guys? Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. And then the Wrestling Observer New Letter Readers, he was voted as top 10, 2010 Tag Team of the Year. He's won the WWE United States Championship along with numerous independent titles, most notable the PWG World Championship. So he's had a really pretty good career. And looking at his career on the cagematch.com, cagematch.net, he's had a really long career since 2000 to 2014. So he's been in the company, he's been in the business for 14 years, which on average, that's usually where people start really cutting their teeth and starting getting to the WWE. Even in 2012, he wrestled for both the WWE and the Florida heavyweight. Okay, so then the Florida became NXT, essentially. So he wrestled for WWE and NXT. So, I mean, he's had a really long career. So, I mean, we've known about this guy, but he didn't really make it onto everybody's radar until he started wrestling Sami Zayn in NXT. Am I wrong or am I right?
Depends what kind of fan you are.
I'm a NXT Sami Zayn versus Cesaro fan.
Well, because he was in ROH during ROH's golden time.
Oh really? I've never watched ROH before.
See, wrestling against the American Dragon and Johnny. I think he wrestled Johnny Moxley a couple times.
So the American Dragon is Daniel Bryan, and Johnny Moxley is.
Dean Ambrose.
Dean Ambrose.
He didn't do much in ROH. I might be wrong.
Mm-hmm.
But Luke Harper, Seth Rollins, they were both really big in ROH at the same time. I want to say, I'm going to be so wrong and I'm going to destroy your fan base.
Yeah. No, go ahead.
It's my real goal anyways. But I want to say he came in right as CM Punk and Samoa Joe were leaving ROH.
That's probably true. Go ahead and keep talking, and I'll talk about it.
I mean, I'm not. I used to watch ROH, and not that their product's bad now, but they used to have an absolute stacked roster.
Yeah, before. And WWE has poached most of it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Even what was it? Even I think it was Stone Cold. No, it was JR. JR said that ROH has WWE has poached most of ROH's people. And ROH has just gone downhill ever since. Okay. So Rocky, go ahead, Rocky.
Oh, I was just going to say, I would not put a lot of stock in that one statement that he's really Swedish. That just, that doesn't seem right to me. A, he doesn't look like a stereotypical Swede. He does look Swiss. And his accent to me is Swiss. Also, I was, in a Twitter conversation with Wayne Isabaker, our Money in the Bank holder, and
future WIRX
champion. You better bow down and respect it.
I will be his personal ring announcer when this happens too.
I voted for him. Hashtag Baker, baby. Hashtag Baker.
There you go.
Hashtag push the Baker.
The yeast from the yeast. Anyhow,
that's kind of gross. That was a gross comment. That was really
the yeast in Cardiff.
The yeast in the east.
The under Baker.
Anyhow, in this Twitter conversation with him, I said, Cesaro is the man. I hope he develops and shows mic skills on par with his other numerous talents. And Wayne came back and said, and Wayne lives in England, so obviously he sees a lot of the European feeds. Mm-hmm. He says, Cesaro has presenting skills. He does an interview segment with superstars on German Raw.
Really?
So yeah. He's actually got his own interview segment in the German language on Raw. So that tells me he can talk. Now, maybe that's their lack of confidence.
I'm not trying to shit on him, but being able to ask questions is different than having mic skills. I can sit there and be like...
That's not true. There's a lot of people that have come and go from interviewing in the WWE and ECW and WCW, and there's rightfully so. Some of them last, some of them don't. You have to have skills to...
Gonna leave.
What are you talking about?
ESPN's offering her the big bucks
because she can do it right.
No, because she looks good.
that's isn't her. I saw a picture of her and Dean together.
No, I don't know.
Yeah, I did. I saw that the other day. Saw her picture of her and Dean together. It's kind of cool. Cesaro is born in Lucerna, Switzerland. He is a Swiss.
Yeah, I've been to Switzerland, and I know a lot of Swiss people, and I'd bet you anything he's Swiss.
Yep. English, German, Italian, French, and native Swiss/German dialect is what he can speak. God, we are so dumb in America.
I don't know. I sent you his old music, which I love.
Oh, okay.
In email.
I probably can play it, but I do. All right, guys. So let's talk about, we talked about his career a little bit. Let's talk about his strength. Let's talk about his amazing strength, picking people up. When he's on the second turnbuckle, they're outside on the apron. He's picking them up and suplexing them over the top rope. Not to mention, he's picked up Big Show and tossed him over the top rope. I mean, just amazing strength. Is
and
that really
across
his...
the room.
Yeah.
Or across the ring before he tossed.
Yeah. Is that really his thing? Is that his niche? Is that his little star next to his name?
I think it's like one of many things he has, and it's so extraordinary it catches your eye.
Yeah.
But I think he has so many good things. He's so skilled. He's got such good timing. I suspect he can talk. This really sticks out.
When WWE lets him run with it instead of making him yodel.
Oh, God, I remember him yodeling. It was so bad.
That was instant. You knew WWE didn't give a fuck about him at the time.
It was so... Oh, my God. It was so bad.
I don't know. See, what I was saying, I've been saying since WrestleMania, and no one's agreed with me, but I know I'm right, is Real American should have got rid of Jack Swagger. And him and Zeb should have gone face because We the People was super over when Cesaro was there. And all the fans were chanting We the People.
I 100% agree. That's why Jack is still getting cheered and everybody's still copying him going We the People. I agree, Chevy.
It wasn't over very much until Cesaro joined.
Yeah, absolutely. Rocky,
and they could actually go back to that, right? Because we were just talking about Heyman's definitely going heel.
Yeah.
Cesaro just seems like a natural face. So who knows? I mean, you could certainly envision a storyline where he goes back to Zeb to be a face.
I mean, he's Swiss. He's a nice guy. They're all nice there. It's like Canadians.
Yeah, but Swiss don't have donuts.
That's true. All right, what about his wrestling ability? I mean, I have seen him and Sami Zayn and him, even him and Jack have put on some amazing competitions. Chevy, give me a best matches you've seen him wrestle in.
Oh, I can't remember. I know he's wrestled some great ROH ones. I just can't remember them. So okay. I would have to say him to Sami Zayn 2 out of 3 right now. But I know I've seen better. I'm just not remembering them.
So good. Rocky, what do you think, man?
Yeah, I'm like Chevy. I can't remember them, but I can tell you there's only a handful of real technicians in the WWE now, and he's certainly one of them.
Yeah.
I can just imagine him and Brian going out, or even Punk.
They put on an A-plus match last year in August when Brian was doing the gauntlet.
Well, him and John Cena was amazing.
Yeah.
I mean...
Yeah, that was remarkably good.
Yeah, we saw stuff out of Cena we haven't seen in years.
Well, there's this thing about Cena and why he has... I'm not trying to slam John Cena, but mm-hmm. there's a reason why he looks good against technicians. And it's because everyone knows his moves so much that whenever someone counters them, it's really easy to see what they do.
Yeah.
And you don't have to rewind your screen. Anyone else who gets countered on, I have to like sit there and figure out how they did it.
Well, also with John Cena, I mean, you get the same thing every time he goes into the ring. So when he does something different, it's wow, wait a minute. If John Cena's doing something different with this guy, that means this guy has something.
Hey, I don't want to ruin it for people, but if Daniel Bryan doesn't go heel in the next year, you're going to see the same thing from Daniel Bryan.
Yeah, oh, I agree.
He does the exact same moves every single match.
We're already seeing that out of Daniel Bryan.
It's because it's what fans want.
Yeah, exactly. That's
the
exactly
man
it.
Who was getting put over because he had 1,000 submissions.
Go ahead, Rocky.
I was just going to say, in thinking about the technicians, they tend to be smaller, less powerful guys who kind of compensate for that by being so good, especially with submissions, but just so many moves. And yet, I'm thinking, can you imagine? So Cesaro's like the one super insanely strong technician, but so is Jack Swagger, really.
Yeah, he is. He really is. A lot of people don't give him enough credit for it.
So as odd as it seems, if they allowed Jack Swagger to really go as a technician, that might actually be a really good match. That'd be interesting to see.
I do. I think this match on SmackDown is going to be really good. I don't think it's going to be their A+, but I think it's going to be really good. It's probably going to end in a DQ or a mess, and then I think they're going to go on to Extreme Rules and some type of stipulation, a cell match. Well, they already have a cell match, so it could go like tables, ladders, and chairs, or no DQ, or pins count anywhere, whatever. And I really think they could put on a really good match. I do. I really believe that. So we talked about his strengths, wrestling ability, his mic skills. We've seen some of it, and we really like what we've seen. At least I like what he's seen, what I've seen so far. And again, we go back to Paul Heyman saying that, you know, Heyman's taken over his speaking ability, and Heyman did really well the first couple of times. But we can see that talking to RVD and talking trash to RVD, he does a very good job. So,
you know what this reminds me of is when Heyman became the mouthpiece for Punk. And it's like, why does Punk need Heyman?
But that kind of, I don't know why that worked. It did, but, though. I don't know why it did.
Because they could bounce off each other. Cesaro is serviceable on the mic. He's not great.
Oh, okay. I mean, other than what he's said so far, I really haven't heard him on the mic, except for when he was yodeling.
He doesn't, as far as I understand, I mean, he can definitely, like, sit down, write something, come out, and deliver it. Like, he's not the kind of guy, he's not like a John Cena, Stone Cold Rock, where you can throw him out for any amount, for a long length of time, and he'll just move on his feet, figure it out, come up with something great.
And that's good enough, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Especially in today's age.
Well, the other thing is that his wrestling backs it up, you know? It really does. It really does back everything up that he says anytime he says it. So regardless of what he sounds like on the mic or what he says on the mic, and I know that's what they're looking for, because they're looking for people to be excited about what people say, like The Rock, Stone Cold, Hulk Hogan, John Cena. Oh, my God. Bray Wyatt is like he's like sirens to me. Oh, I listen to it. I waver when he talks.
I know. I've gone so Bray. It's
stupid.
Ridiculous.
It is ridiculous. That promo he cut this week was freaking amazing. It was so good, and he talked about so much in so little amount of time, and he made a point of everything. It was just so good.
And I totally marked out when he's talking about free will and all that stuff.
Yep.
Man, that's right in my wheelhouse.
Yep.
I loved it.
Yep, absolutely. And you can't not love it, because he's such a, you believe it. You like I talked about last week, you believe his character. It's believable. You feel it in him. And when John Cena talks about going to, never mind. You know what? Hang on. All right, Chevy, I'm going to give you as much time as you want to talk about Cesaro and your rant. So go ahead and do it.
I've kind of just been fleshing it out. Just like, I've been talking about it, but like, I don't like what he's doing with Heyman. It just seems pointless. And it seems like it's really ruined all his momentum. Like, he had a huge pop at WrestleMania, a huge pop the next night. Heyman comes out, and yeah, he gets that pop there, but he's done nothing with it. They clearly don't care about his music, because they gave him a worse music track than he's been using previously.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I don't know. Oh, man, I don't know why they picked that music.
His jacket is retarded. like it's like a glossy, like, female rock star jacket. And I'm sorry, no one has ever looked, besides Taz, no one has ever looked cool using a towel in their ring entrance.
I don't know what to do. I don't know. Anything else you guys want to talk about?
Well, I'll tell you what distresses me on that is that I have yet to hear Heyman put him over.
Yeah,
Heyman's
exactly.
Busy putting himself over and Brock, but nothing about Cesaro, or very little.
Is that what makes you think they're going to split up?
I hope so.
Yeah, I just I don't see it doing him any good. And I, you know, these things are so carefully thought through. I can't believe it's an accident.
Well, they're trying to find a way to keep Brock Lesnar relevant, so you feel like he's an instant title threat when he comes in and when he shows up on a Raw in July.
Well, it doesn't really matter if, I mean, we know he's an instant title threat. Daniel Bryan is 200 pounds and he's small. He's shorter than me. We know he's an instant title threat. We know that. We don't need him promoting it all the time to know he's an instant title threat. So to me, it doesn't make sense. It just doesn't make sense. Don't get me wrong. I like when Heyman comes out. When there's a bad guy, I want, when you can play a bad guy in a video game, I want to be the bad guy. I don't want to be anything else. I want to be the bad guy. Everyone else wants to be the hero. I don't. I want to be the bad guy. I want to rule the world. I want to control things. Okay? I want to be the bad guy. So when Heyman comes out and pisses all those fans off about him talking about my My guy, Brock Lesnar, beat the streak. My guy, Brock. I love it. I loved it. When he did it on SmackDown for like 10 minutes, I laughed. I laughed at all those people because they were booing him because it's a rib. It's a rib. McMahon is ribbing all of them. Hands down. And Chevy is building an arc behind him. So
yeah, something's hitting the floor.
I know. All right, guys. So what do you think was the best of the week? I'm actually going to step away for a second. What do you think is the best of the week, Rocky? And then we'll go right to Chevy when Rocky's done.
I think that Barrett match, from what I saw. And again, I only saw like the first hour and a half or whatever of Raw, but that was terrific. I loved it.
Hashtag Occupy DSJNNP. And 2 months from now, me and R Mage are going to be the sole host.
Yeah, we're taking over.
That's right. Take over, fools.
Damn it. He tricked us.
Like Tom Sawyer whitewashing.
By the way, I'm keeping all this shit in. I don't care. So, you know, best of the week.
I don't know. The news that Batista is leaving after Extreme Rules.
That's the best of the news that Batista is leaving after Extreme Rules. Okay. That's Chevy's vote. Rocky, what do you got, man? What's the best of the week? Come on. Let's not be negative all the time. Let's be positive.
No,
that is serious. Positive.
No, I was serious. That match with Barrett was terrific.
It was. It really was. Barrett's brought his A game back.
Well, and he won. He didn't win in a dirty way, but he won in a heel way where like, and now Sheamus is like, oh, you're attacking when my guard is down. He's like, no, I just kicked your ass. Yeah. He's playing up the brawler card, which is good.
I really, really do enjoy Stephanie and Triple H separating their storylines. I love the fact that we have a Daniel Bryan and the Authority storyline, and we have the Evolution Authority storyline with the Shield. I love it. I love the fact that we have two different storylines, and eventually I have a feeling they're going to be coming to a head, but I really do enjoy the fact that they're two different. We don't see Stephanie and Triple H together all the time anymore.
I'm going to go out on a limb and make a prediction.
Uh-oh, I hope you know this may be my quote this week.
This is going to be an awful prediction that doesn't come true, but the good thing is it's long-term, so people will forget. at SummerSlam, Brie Bella will wrestle Stephanie McMahon in her first match in forever.
Oh, wow, that
at
is
SummerSlam, Brie Bella will wrestle Stephanie. Huh.
That's right, he's writing it down. He's going to invite me.
508. I have it written down. 5508, Chevy predicts. And I'm going to take that, I'm going to repeat it and loop it into my theme song every week.
You know what? If it happens, you're going to look like an idiot.
No, if it happens, I'm going to look like a genius because my podcast said it first, son. That's right.
You know, that could even be part of a mixed tag with the two husbands and wives.
I can't see it being a mixed tag because I can't see Stephanie McMahon wearing ring gear for 20 minutes. Like, if she wrestles like Brie Bella, it's going to be like a 5-minute match. It's going to be short.
I got to agree with you, Vamp, on the separation. And you saw it a little bit in the last couple of interactions they've had, you know, where Steph is like harder edge than Trips is.
Yep.
And also her heel move of, you know, after Daniel Bryan is kayfabe injured and he's going out on the gurney and she's holding the belts on her shoulder and saying, oh, you know, poor Daniel. And God, that was sweet.
It was so good. They replayed it almost the entire Raw, and she's holding up one of the belts because, I mean, she's probably stronger than me as far as a woman, but she can barely hold up both those titles at the same time. I don't blame her. They're really heavy. So she's holding up one of the titles. She goes, let's hear it for Daniel Bryan. Supposedly he's knocked out on the stretcher being let out. I'm like, this is awesome. Forget Vince McMahon. Stephanie McMahon is so much better.
She is awesome. She is so nasty. And if you think about it, in the classic Disney mold, the beautiful, nice witch, the nice witch is always beautiful, right? The face is always beautiful.
Maleficent. And Maleficent coming out. It's Angelina Jolie. How more beautiful can you get? I mean, really, how more beautiful can you get? The most beautiful woman in the world is going to be the most wicked woman in fantasy land.
She's wicked, but she's the protagonist.
Oh, I thought... I
saw the extended trailer.
I don't want to go see that movie then.
Anyway, and Steph, you have this beautiful woman who's just the most evil, nasty, cunning, awful person. It's great.
I know. I love it. I love it so much. Every time she gets nasty, I smile a little bit in my soul.
If you want a more realistic prediction, in the next two WrestleManias, there will be a Triple H versus someone that's Stephanie's backing match.
Oh, you think so?
Yeah, especially if they go my way, which is way too long term of booking for them.
I don't know, Chevy, man. They're married and stuff. It's not like they were dating. Back then, they were dating.
So, there was a four-way between Vince, Shane, his wife, and Stephanie.
I know.
All back in different.
I know. Vince backed Triple H. Shane backed Big Show? Or The Rock?
But Vince went against his wife.
Yep. Yeah, I know. See, now you're talking my history. We're not talking about WCW. You're talking WWF, son. Okay? I saw all that shit.
I've gone back and watched. So, I think, like I said, this is way too long term for them. But what they could do is at some point Triple H gets so mad that he becomes the GM of Raw and appoints Stephanie as the GM of SmackDown. And like their hand, like taking over everything, one of them starts to like slowly turn like over the year until eventually you have like it won't be as good because it won't be like a full on brand split, but you'll have some kind of Raw versus SmackDown going on.
I love that so much. I can't tell you how much I would love the brands to split again. I can't tell you how effective that was bringing up stars like John Cena and Daniel Bryan and Miz and all that. Oh man, I can't tell you how much. Oh, Rey Mysterio became a superstar from SmackDown. Oh, I want them to split the brands up so bad. So bad. I'm so tired. So we're in a free-for-all now, guys, in case you didn't notice. I'm so tired of seeing, don't get me wrong, we talked about it last week, I'll talk about it this week. I love Fandango. I love it. Love Fandango.
Yeah.
I'm so tired of seeing Fandango and Eve and Santino with Emma. Oh my God, I'm so tired. And all that stuff they post online on YouTube after Santino Morello and Emma are in the back, that stuff is priceless. The stuff that's on TV is crap, because the stuff that is on that YouTube is so uncomfortable and so awkward. I love it. It's fantastic. It's like watching the original the original Office from the UK. It's so uncomfortable to watch that it's great. That's the stuff that I need to play on TV, not this bull crap. Double Cobra, I'm going to blow my brains out. Wait, thank you for wasting my time.
Oh, my God. I had mercifully forgotten about the Double Cobra.
Cobra!
I'm so tired of it.
I'm a G.I. Joe fan. I'll yell Cobra all I want.
Me too. Knowing is half the battle. So, Rocky, now that I've vented of my vent, what you got, man?
Yeah, let me go back to the McMahons just for a second. Okay. I'm still in shock that Vince is so far off television. I would have thought at WrestleMania 30 somehow he would get involved, and I still hold out hope, and it's probably unrealistic at this point, that you know they can work this storyline where Steph has all the money,
okay,
and Hunter is married into the money, and so she can get more and more and more abusive and more domineering of Hunter, and eventually Vince comes in, and he's going to come in on one side or the other.
Rocky?
Yeah.
He's almost 70 years old.
Yeah, I know. So I don't think, this is not an in-ring kind of a thing, okay, but I'm thinking that he's sort of the big money bag, and he can either side with his blood or he can side with the abused husband here, because he can overpower Stephanie's money. But I think he's just kind of in retirement mode, because like I said, the fact that he never showed up at WrestleMania 30 in a public way tells me he's probably done.
He is a heel, which I understand a little bit, that like if he shows up at WrestleMania 30, he's supposed to get booed, not cheered. His last appearance, he was a heel. He usually plays a heel.
That's true, but they have flipped him before. The product has gotten so bad
have flipped him, but he's not going to come out at WrestleMania 30 and flip instantly.
No, I think that they should have done the same thing they did at WrestleMania 20. Do you guys remember what they did at WrestleMania 20?
No.
He showed up with Shane and Shane's child in his hand at the beginning of WrestleMania 20 and saying, we're all grown up or something, or it continues or something like that. I think that's what he should have done with all of his grandkids. And it wasn't filmed live at WrestleMania. It was like in a black stage area somewhere. I think that's what they should have done. I think they should have brought all the grandkids together and filmed saying the new generation has arrived and boom, WrestleMania starts. I got chills just saying that in my head. Oh my God. Because it was the beginning of the new generation. It was the beginning of a new era in wrestling. We all saw that, except for Cena, because Cena's a fucking asshole. But we all saw that.
Well, I would just love to see Stephanie get so evil that even the heel Vince thinks she's over the top and has to be reined in.
Whoa.
I would love to see that.
Whoa, I made Kane have sex with a dead corpse, but you've gone too far.
Actually, that was Triple H.
This is the part of the show where RMH's personal fantasy life of Stephanie dominating her husband comes into play.
No, quite the opposite, actually. I would love to see her get her comeuppance from the old man.
Oh yeah, you want to see her? You want to see her beat down?
Yeah, I want to see her allowance taken away or something.
Something.
Allowance taken away.
I have to say, I would really like to see Shane come back and be like, you guys have done a horrible job. I'm taking over. I'm the heir to the throne, not you, Stephanie. This is what's going on.
I just want this.
And I really thought that was going to happen.
What if Shane comes back and he says, you know, hey, I own 20% of the company or whatever, right? Some believable
figure. Well, I mean, he probably does, but.
And say, you know what? The role they put me in was in charge of WCW, and that's been usurped, and I want it back. I would love to see that brand split come back.
Oh, that would be awesome.
Did they ever kayfabe take away his ownership of WCW?
I don't remember it.
I can't remember either. I need to go back and watch all that stuff. That's the stuff I want to watch.
That would only work if he brought in Sting as his GM.
And why not? Right? Oh, what better role? Because he's pretty well done in the ring.
Okay, all right. So going crazy. Okay, going a little cray cray here.
WWE's not going to do it.
You bring Sting in. Okay, you make Sting the general manager for SmackDown, and Sting turns SmackDown into WCW.
What? I think you just resurrect WCW outright.
Does Hulk Hogan join and try to reform NWO for the third time?
And try to kill WCW? Oh, that would be awesome! No, Nash, we know Nash is still hired, so you bring Nash in to form NWO to try to kill WCW because Sting is now running WCW. Well, see, Rocky, you can't do both. You can't have, it's too much wrestling.
Yeah, you can't bring back both brands. But if you're going to do a brand split, bring back WCW. That was the one that actually competed and elevated the whole industry.
Yeah, you're right.
And Shane really was in charge of that for a short time.
Oh, he was?
Here's
I didn't know he was. Wow, okay.
Do you actually trust WWE to do this? Because you know,
oh hell no,
deep in your heart, it's going to be the shittiest, most awful thing.
I will say this. Since Triple H has taken over creative control from Stephanie and Stephanie has moved to brand, the storylines have been better. What? What, Chevy? What?
Some of them.
Well, it's better than what Stephanie was producing.
Oh, yeah. Think to all those crappy pay-per-views for about 8 months.
Yeah, yeah. Thank you, Rocky. Thank you. Okay. Since it's been back. So if there's one person to run it, no, don't make me wrong. I have an autographed picture of Triple H in my living room right now. Okay. I'm a Triple H mark. I will say that up front.
Well, and there's the reality of who's in charge of these things, but then there's the kayfabe of who you're presenting as who's in charge.
Well, here's the thing. Again, like I said, Rocky, before last week when Chevy left, the DVD, and you can watch it on the WWE Network as well, the DVD of Triple H, Thy Kingdom Come, literally is about him taking over the WWE because he is going to take over the WWE. When Vince McMahon dies, he will be the CEO of WWE.
So blood isn't thicker than water.
No, it's not. He will be it. He will be it.
Interesting. Yeah, I got to watch that. And I've got the network, so I will actually do that tonight.
You need my brother didn't believe me. Okay, I talked to my brother the other day because his poor cat died. Zeus, I love you, Zeus. See you next time, man. So he he was watching it the other night. He's like, man, I'm so tired. I'm like, dude, why are you so tired, man? He's like, man, I started that stupid Triple H DVD that you recommended to me. He said, I stayed up till 2 o'clock watching the damn thing. Cause I was like, okay, I'm going to go to bed now. Oh, wait, they're talking about this. Okay. I'm going to go to bed. Oh, don't wait. So he just kept watching the damn thing and he couldn't put it down.
Hey, let me throw something out just so that somebody else remembers besides me. I have Kevin Nash news. We don't have to talk about it now.
No, talk about it. Rock, Chevy, you got anything? Okay. You good? You want to talk about Kevin Nash?
I can wait until after talking about it.
I know Kevin Nash has been talking shit about Roddy Piper.
Exactly. That's the news. So I didn't even know that Roddy had a podcast.
He didn't. He had one before the podcast, whatever. Obviously, it's not my company, whatever I podcast on Podbean. He podcasted on some type of company, and then they shut down for some reason.
Well, he's started up again, though.
Yes, Podcast yes. One. Yes, it was because of Stone Cold Steve Austin.
Yeah, okay, so
I love you, Roddy Piper, and your podcast is good, but it's disappointing because it's him as a person, not Roddy Piper, the wrestler who yelled at everything.
Oh, yeah.
I agree. It's kind of a C-grade podcast. It's okay. He's only got 2 episodes out, and I've listened to him.
Is it sad? Is it sad, Roddy?
He should have to put on the face paint for every podcast. Just
It's not sad. It's just not first rate. Like, you listen to Austin, it's off the chain good.
Yeah,
you
know? Yeah, both of them, too. Even the family version and the non-family version are good.
And Piper's just isn't, and I predict a short run. But anyway, in the first episode, he relates a story of Kevin Nash coming busting into a locker room because he was mad about a botch or something in a match. And Piper's tale is that he took him down with a single leg pickup and basically showed him who was boss, and that was the end of that little problem. Well, Nash has, 180-degree different recollection of this, and they got in this Twitter fight, and in the middle of it comes X-Pac, who is a, by all accounts, a really nice person. And,
he is, but he's also a drug addict.
I thought you were going to say irrelevant.
Well, in any case, he claims to have witnessed this, and his take is, boy, I feel so bad because I don't think Roddy's a liar. I hope this is just a memory problem because Nash's account is the accurate one. But Roddy is, pretty adamant about this. So it's going to be interesting to see how it plays out because they couldn't be more divergent. And it's a real Roddy launches into this story talking about what a lying scumbag Nash is.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I mean, he comes out with guns a-blazing on this.
Wow, I'm gonna subscribe to that right now.
You know what he should do is there should be like a 15-minute segment of the JR podcast to like off-balance like all the good work that JR does and his positivity. And Roddy Piper just yells and screams and shits on the product for 15 minutes every week. And just like gets off like, so like it's like a good way for JR to like secretly like get out like the stuff he's frustrated about without actually him saying it himself.
Well, I love the fact that, okay, Roddy was never a booker, okay? All right. JR was a booker. Roddy was never a booker. Roddy admitted he was never a booker. He never wanted to be a booker. He always thought he was too dumb to be a booker. Now, Roddy, granted, I think Roddy's smart, but Roddy has admitted that he only got like an 8th grade or something like that, grade level.
Yeah, yeah. He had a boy, if it's worth listening to his interview, two-part interview on Stone Cold Steve Austin.
Mm-hmm. That's the sad Roddy I talk about because listening to him talk about, or even just getting the DVD, picking up the Roddy Piper DVD is fantastic. It's a great DVD.
Hey, is there a source, speaking of that, he tells this great story of of causing a riot or nearly so in Los Angeles with a largely Hispanic crowd. And he went out to apologize for some slurs or something that really got him heated up and had the show taken off TV for a while and stuff. And he came out and had everyone stand while he was going to play the Mexican national anthem on the bagpipes.
And he played La Cucaracha.
Yeah. And he said that the chairs were bolted together and they somehow got them apart and they were throwing chairs and stuff. Oh, my God. It sounds great. I would give a lot to see that on video.
I'm trying to find some type of Roddy Piper Riot thing, but I don't right now. I don't see.
He's the whole reason I watched Legends House this week.
I haven't seen it. Tell me about it. Tell me about it, Chevy. Tell me about Legends House real quick.
It was okay. I don't know. Like, it was just them, like, really introducing the people and, like, them all being like, oh, hey, great to see you. And, like, them, like, foreshadowing that these guys used to have beef and that it may come out. Like, it was just, like, a first episode just setting up the show. So I'm going to have to watch the second week to know if it's actually good or not.
Okay. Yeah, I thought it was kind of meh. It was, there were kind of two pieces of drama that got set up. One is that Roddy is a recovering drug addict and alcoholic. And so he puts himself in this situation where he's living in a house with a bunch of drunks. So yeah, that's just a dumb decision. And he's also, he's got a lot of kind of emotional demons and finds it hard to be around people for a long time that kind of thing. So anyway, so he's one part of the drama. The other one that was kind of unexpected was Hacksaw Jim Duggan kind of going off when, who was the other guy? The guy talking about the charity work he does with children. It'll come to me. Great, big, strong, black man.
Tony Atlas.
Yeah. And, you know, they're just kind of shooting the breeze. It's the first night, I think. And Tony mentions that he spends a lot of time on this. And Hacksaw just went off, like, as if he had been personally attacked or something. He's obviously got some insecurity in this area and says, well, I take care of my own kids first and blah, blah, blah. And it was just this weird, irrational response. And so that was right at the end. And it was kind of a teaser of like, oh, okay, there's some kind of completely irrational heat here. And this Tony's being the gentleman and like, hey, you know, it's nothing about you, pal.
But yeah. And then didn't this thing get filmed like 2 years ago or something?
Yeah, I don't know what the story was, why they held it so long. Maybe they were just holding it for the network to come up.
They were holding it for the network. Well, because when they first started the network, they thought like it was like original content was going to be everything, because originally this was going to be a $50 a month TV channel.
What? Did you just say 50?
The original idea was that it was basically going to be the price of you were going to be paying the price of the pay-per-view, but also get 24 hours of content.
You got to be kidding me.
For that massive demographic that buys every pay-per-view, right?
Yeah.
How long ago did they say that was?
Well, that was 2-3 years ago. There's a reason why the network did not get launched as a cable product.
$50 a freaking month? Hell, Oprah's channel freaking went free. I got it right now, and I don't pay for the damn thing.
It's the only way WWE was going to make the money.
Yeah.
Because they had to deal with the cable companies taking so much money off.
This is one of the best decisions I've ever seen in my life, okay? Because AMC is a very popular channel, obviously, because of Breaking Bad, Walking Dead. Walking Dead is seen by like 16 million people every single week, all right?
But WWE was going to have a commercial-free wanted to have a commercial-free network.
I understand that, okay? Yeah. But this is the thing, okay? They're going to have their own channel, okay? Right? Right, Chevy? They were essentially going to have their own channel, like the Oprah channel.
They were going to have their own channel. But this was going to be like an HBO type deal where there's no commercials, and with how expensive that it is to put on the pay-per-views and stuff, they needed to charge some ridiculous price so they could get back like $20 a month.
So HBO cost me $10 a month. Normally, a channel gets back 2 cents for every person they have subscribing to that. So I have Comcast, so they get 2 cents from my $130 I pay them every single month to get my cable and my internet.
HBO gets 2 cents?
No, the Oprah channel gets 2 cents. HBO,
I was about to say.
HBO would probably, HBO most likely based on, I don't know, granted.
Probably get 5 or 6.
Yes, granted, based on what I know and based on what how much I know that the pay-per-view gets. And from what I heard, that WWE barely gets anything from the pay-per-view dollars.
Yeah.
That the cable companies get most of the money. That HBO would literally, I subscribe to HBO for $10 a month, HBO would get like $2.
Well, so I'm in that industry, and it varies a lot, but there's a couple of good sources. There's an industry online magazine free called the Multi-Channel News and another one called the Light Reading. Anyway, on the pay-per-views, traditionally the split has been 50-50. But on the various channels, it varies a lot. In fact, the cable systems are finally starting to unbundle ESPN. Because if I remember right, ESPN is now charging the cable company something like $2.50 per subscriber. And 50% of the subscribers never watch ESPN, ever.
I don't watch ESPN.
And the other half watch it all day.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right. So so it makes sense then for the cable companies to remove that from the all-inclusive bundle and put it in its own specialized kind of bundle now.
I don't watch ESPN. I don't watch ESPN ever. I never watch ESPN.
You're either a person who watches it all the time or not at all.
Yeah, my brother watches it all the time. All the time.
And an interesting aspect of why there exist all these niche channels that nobody watches, religious stations and stuff, those guys pay the cable company to get on the air.
Yes, yes, yes.
So the finance is just really complicated and really weird. But one aspect I think that's
Up
really
does
smart
really
about
well, actually.
I'm sorry, what does?
Yeah, Up.
Up.
Up is a Christian. Yes. It's a Christian channel. But
you know what they make a lot of money on?
What?
Touched by an Angel replays.
Yes, reruns. Yes, and they have
no one
actually
else can show it.
they have newer content more than most of the other ones. The other ones are like old men talking about, you know, Christianity and stuff. But they have like movies and stuff.
Well, yeah, and it's closer to what most Americans want in the channel, mm-hmm. where it's not like screaming at them. It's like a Christian Hallmark channel. More.
Yeah, that's exactly what it is, Chevy. That's exactly what it is. All right.
But anyway, getting back to the WWE Network, one real advantage they have now, among many, I think it's a brilliant move, is if they had their own channel like HBO, then all they get is 24 hours a day because they only have one channel. That's their entire capacity, right? Mm-hmm. And people have to DVR it because it's on whenever it's on. Well, with their
I wouldn't
own network,
be worried about DVR, but yeah.
Yeah, with their own network, they can have as much as they want, you know, way more than 24 hours a day. So in terms of looking forward to growth, I think it's fantastic. And I think like any innovation in any industry, everybody else is going to be forced to follow.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, well, yeah. I can definitely see AMC going this way. Oh, absolutely. Going this way. AMC could go this way right now with the Walking Dead viewers, and I 100% guarantee that if they had like exclusives to the Walking Dead,
but you still need a way to get people into the product. Like yeah. WWE still has Raw.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. WWE still has Raw, and WWE still has current content that they're updating all the time. The problem is with going with AMC is trying to find that content that's going to be keep updating. That's the good thing about the WWE is that it's 24/7, 365, all year, every day, no stops, no breaks. That's what it is.
And infinitely expandable. You're not constrained by the cable plant capacity. Oh, we only have one channel. If you want another one, we got to kick somebody else off. And, you know, you don't have any of those kind of problems. Oh, and speaking of Raw and the other kind of over the air or over the cable programs to keep it fresh in people's minds. You know, Dan mentioned on the Weekend Review that he couldn't understand why they did not change belts at the pay-per-view, but instead they changed belts on the Raw after.
Mm-hmm.
And that Eric Bischoff was this way and he couldn't understand, or maybe it was Austin who said that. I don't remember, but anyway, someone pointed out, I think it was Bischoff in his book, said, look, all the money's on the over-the-air stuff.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
So you got to generate interest in that. The pay-per-views are just kind of hardcore.
More than half the money's always come from TV deals and live attendance.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean,
you got to have the interest.
The McDonald's commercial right now. They have a McDonald's commercial on WWE Raw. That would have never happened during the Attitude Era. Never.
What I'm hoping is in their new TV deal, they can work out a deal with whatever company it is that from the time Raw's on TV, they can show it on the network and just count like people who are watching online into their ratings somehow, and like the TV company still gets like the money from the advertisements.
Universal is dumb, so dumb for not paying whatever the WWE asked for. is they are ridiculously dumb for not paying them.
And the contracts are so convoluted with the cable companies. You know, everybody wants a piece of that revenue stream. Yep. So yeah. To whatever degree people watch Raw on the network rather than on the cable feed, that affects the cash flow to the cable company and to USA.
I don't think they're dumb. I think if the rumor is that WWE was asking for three times as much, I think they're playing it right because they have that deal where they can match a contract. And WWE's not going to find a channel that's going to pay what they were asking from USA if they were really asking for three times as much.
But here's the thing, okay?
And they're not going to go the 6 months without Raw on TV.
How many TV shows and how much money off those other TV shows have they made from the WWE? Not to mention that, okay? And I wanted to go on this rant for a long, long time. Give me 1 second, Chevy.
Brother.
SmackDown provided the Sci-Fi Network with every dollar and ducat that they have ever put into any popular TV show that they have provided. So all of you nerds or geeks like myself, who love Battlestar Galactica and who love Eureka and who love Warehouse 13, all of that is because of the Friday Night SmackDown that you do not watch, but everyone else does, because it is one of the highest rated shows on Friday night.
I don't think WWE is leaving USA and Sci-Fi. I think Universal is just going to wait and match the contract.
No, I understand that, but I had to get that out because people don't realize that. All of my friends are geeks and nerds, and I am one too. And they say, like, why is wrestling on my Smack? Why is my wrestling on my Sci-Fi channel? You know why wrestling's on your Sci-Fi channel? Because millions and millions and millions of people watch wrestling every single week consistently. Okay, they're not the DVR type of people. They want to watch it now, live, pronto. Okay, that's the way it is. They provided the money.
Another reason why it's perfect on Sci-Fi, because think of all the terrible creative writing on Sci-Fi movies. This stuff looks brilliant by comparison.
Sharknado was really popular.
Can anyone confirm this for me, that they spend more on an episode of on 30-minute episodes than they do on their movies?
I'm pretty sure they do, because
it feels like it. Confirmation.
I'm pretty sure they do because Battlestar Galactica was like one point. I'm trying to remember.
It was cheaper than Defiance was.
Yeah, that's true. But Battlestar was like $1.1 million an episode or something like that, and I think Sharknado was like $500,000.
I'm amazed they got Tara Reid for under $1 million.
Let me know. You guys continue talk about. Well, so here, Universal the channel HD also runs Raw all the time. People watch it all the time for the whole week.
I think what's important to me is that WWE can find a way to get Raw on the network in a way that satisfies the TV company because they're still making their advertising dollars.
And yeah, I don't know. I agree, and I got to believe that that's at least part of why they're not overseas, as well as they've got satellite contracts and stuff going on.
Yeah. I will never personally do it because it'll be one of those options where you can't fast forward through commercials, which I hate. I always start Raw an hour late and just start fast forward through all the commercials and finish on time with everyone else.
Yeah, I'm the same way. And that brings up a good point. I hear this over and over again. Raw's too long. Nobody can write 3 hours of good wrestling television, blah, blah, blah. Well, it's only two. I mean, That's true. 3 hours of Raw, there's only 2 hours of content. So, I don't know. Maybe people can't write 2 hours of good TV. I don't know.
They can, and they just don't because they want to put in crap like Fandango and put Emma in worthless segments.
And midgets going over Drew. Yeah.
I don't like Emma, but I can admit that they're not giving her anything.
Okay.
Yeah, I wonder why they bury these guys and keep them on the payroll. I can't figure it out.
Because you need filler. You need something that's not as exciting. You need something that fills time. I mean,
you are to make the high spots look good.
Yeah, exactly. You need something that does that. You need a comedy relief. Okay. So, crap. Sharknado was $2 million. Okay. Battlestar Galactica was quoted figures were about $18 million for the mini series, which was three episodes, and about $2 million per episode at the end of season one. $2 million per episode, and it cost Sharknado $2 million just to make for the whole movie.
Sci-Fi didn't pay for the miniseries.
Okay.
Sci-Fi wasn't even going to air it for a while.
Okay. No, I know all that. Yeah. I believe that, but it still cost $2 million per episode in season one.
Well, that's what happens when you make the second best TV show of all time.
the first best TV show of all time.
Second best, Firefly Bitches.
All right, that's a good point. I forgot you and I share a lot of the same DVDs. I forgot you and I were talking about that one day.
Oh, my God. If something's in space, I'm a sucker for it. You have me at the word spaceship.
You have me at the word spaceship. Rocky Mountain High, do you have any idea what the hell we're talking about?
Yeah, I do. That's all right. I can't help it that you're so young, but the original Lost in Space from the 60s.
Oh, my God, please. Danger, danger, Will Robinson. Danger. By the way, candy. Will Robinson, Lanier off of Babylon 5. Boom, bitches, blew your mind. Oh.
Shot for $100 an episode.
The only old sci-fi TV show I've ever really gotten into was Doctor Who.
I can't get into the old ones. They're so cheesy.
Yeah, I got.
Oh, I'm sorry. Star Trek. Obviously, Star Trek.
Go ahead, Rocky.
Yeah, my darn mute won't come off. There we go. Yeah, the thing with Doctor Who is I keep thinking I've got 51 years of backlog to get through before I'm current. You know, so.
No, you don't. you need to do is watch.
Start of the Ninth Doctor.
Yeah, just start off with you know what? Start off with David Tennant. You'll be just fine.
Okay.
Yeah, you'll be fine. All right, any of the last words for WE, not that we've gone on that weird-ass tangent about sci-fi shows?
Welcome to the DSJNP. You can't guess from a long name, we don't talk wrestling. Boom.
That's right. Promo. Boom, bitch.
1.5 hours.
Boom. That is my opening promo. Let me check what time that is. Okay. 1:33, 1:35. Done deal. Boom. Welcome to DSJNP. We don't talk wrestling.
I was going to say, WWE has been like trolling the IWC lately, and they're doing it even harder because they are teasing a double turn at Extreme Rules.
Okay, wait a minute.
Which won't happen.
Hang on. Explain to everyone that is not aware, what is the IWC? Please explain this, because a lot of people don't know.
It is a term used for people like me in the internet wrestling community, or I don't know what the C stands for, who read the dirt sheets and shit over the product because they have nothing better to do with their lives.
And I would say it's actually broader than that. It's anybody who follows wrestling on the internet wrestling community, and that includes you, Megawatt.
Yeah, it does.
Mega just thinks he's not IWC because he disagrees with them on most topics.
Mega is totally IWC. Whether he likes to admit it or not, he is totally IWC.
The most important thing for being IWC is the idea that you beat your chest and know that you're right, even when everyone else is saying something else.
Yeah, we're all smarter bookers than the pros. Right?
Exactly. We all know better. We all know better. Hey, all I can say is I'm following Sami Zayn, and if you're not following Sami Zayn, you're dumb.
I only follow people on the AWWIR because we're the 50 smartest people in wrestling.
I do follow a lot of people on AWWIR, but I do have another, you know, I have other podcasts that I have to promote as well, guys. Thank you very much.
No, you don't.
Yes, I do. I've in case you guys don't know, this is the DSJNP.com podcast. We do have other podcasts. We have
Geek. Do you have a PayPal?
No, we don't have a PayPal. We have a Geek. This all comes from Devil Vance Pockets, okay? We have a Geek Geek News podcast. We also have an Atheist cast, which I will have Chevy on as soon as I can.
I'm not giving you a discount for that one.
All right, I'll remember that.
Hey, next week's free because I gave you that buy two, get one free.
Oh, yeah, that's right. You gave me the buy two, get one free. Rocky, you got anything else left to say, my man?
No, I'm good. Done enough damage for one night.
You're good. He's like Brock Lesnar calling out on Taker. I'm good. I'm good.
It's 8:18. It's bedtime for him.
It is.
Yeah, that's right.
It's very much.
You know,
as,
you take that warm Geritol, put you right down.
That's right. That's right. That warm milk. Rocky coming straight from Colorado. If you want to follow him, it's at RMTN High, because you know he's in Colorado, so he's got to be high. H-I-G-H. Chevy at A-W-W-I-R. Chevy. C-H-E-V-Y. And I am always your incredible host, Devil Vamp, D-E-V-I-L-V-A-M-P on Twitter. Please follow us at dsjnp.com, at gmail.com. Email us whenever you can. We love your feedback. Chevy gives us a lot. We improve as we go. Getting better. This is the 10th episode. I hope you guys enjoyed it. Have a great week. We're going to move on to wrestling again because Cock is here.
Yay.
This is the Chief of Callers?
Chief of Callers.
This is your Chief of Callers speaking.
I actually had a comment on GroupMe where I said he can't possibly be Dan's cock because he's too busy sucking Dan's cock.
So, Cock, where are you?
Really bad mood on that day.
Where are you from, Cock?
Australia.
Australia.
Oh yeah.
Are you sure? Hang on, Chevy. I'm gonna insult him real quick because we love the cock. Are you sure you're not from New Zealand, Cock?
Nope.
that's in Chevy.
At least
in case
the cock's from down under.
Yeah. In case you don't know, that's a huge insult to being called a Kiwi for us.
Yeah. Well, the Kiwis.
I think of more insulting stuff.
Yeah, I'm loving the pink.
Like saying, like, I hate it when you and British people are talking because I can't tell you apart.
I have the same problem with you guys.
Do you?
With us and who?
With us and who?
Just America, Canada, anyone that's not Australian, bloody hell.
Canada? Really? You confuse Americans with Canadians?
Yeah, I thought you got, like, Canada, America, and Mexico. I thought you guys were the entire, like, same thing.
Mexico. You're an asshole, Cock.
I remember when I tried to do my Razor Ramon invitation 1 week, and it just sounded like I was a Mexican. So like I said, it's
maybe,
a rock, and
maybe
like,
he's right
that it was shit, and maybe, I never played it.
maybe Cock's right. he may be right about us and Mexicans. Maybe
so.
Right.
If you ask Rock, he may be able to send you the worst Razor Ramon invitation. Ever.
Here's the thing. Are Mexicans Asian?
No.
No, they're Latino.
To me, they look exactly the same.
They do not look exactly the same.
Oh, I love this guy already. Oh, he's
Although,
right
again,
up my alley,
I can
Chevy.
I can tell the difference, unlike most Americans, I can tell the difference between Japanese people, Chinese people, and
Korean people. Yeah, I know. Me too.
I watched too much anime.
So, Cock, all right, man, let me run down a couple things. I'll add this into the last part of the podcast since you missed most of us. I got a lot of cutting to do today, Chevy.
What are your views on the Sci-Fi Channel as a whole? That's a big topic we talked about. We talked about AMC, Walking Dead. I'm trying to remember all the off-topic stuff we talked about.
All right, for real. Shit. Chevy fucked me up, man.
That's the whole reason I'm on this show. Every time I eat a laugh, I just do my hands in victory.
Just yeah, that's me.
That's why we need to do this on video, just so we could.
All right, so the couple of segments that we do on the DSJNP is Keeper to Toss It, Commentators Say the Craziest Things, Characters and Details, Best of the Week, and Free for All. Now, the Characters and Detail this week was Cesaro.
Mm.
Do you have something to say about Cesaro?
I think me with a lot of other people, I'm sort of confused where he's going. The entrance music, I must say, is really cool. His jacket is lame, and I don't know. I don't think he's going to go anywhere.
You were the only person I've heard of who liked his new entrance music.
Yeah, I think it's pretty badass.
Do you really?
Do you watch TNA?
Yeah, I do.
Does that not just sound like another lame TNA rock song?
I don't even think that TNA's music is that bad.
But it all sounds the same on TNA. It's all generic.
Yeah.
And that, if I heard that track, I would guess it was from TNA, not from WWE. His old music was awesome.
Yeah, I like the music. I think it's cool. I think it's that starting bit, I think that's pretty cool.
So you think the air sirens are cool is what you think, right?
Yeah. Did you say his jacket is cool?
No.
Oh, I was about to say I'm about to never talk to you again.
No, you just think that looks, you gotta love the cock, man.
I actually heard someone try to defend his jacket and I was like, it looks like a girl's jacket and he's wearing a towel around his neck.
Yeah.
All right. So you don't think Cesaro's gonna go anywhere?
Nope.
Wow. Really?
I'm actually leaning towards Cesaro's gonna be a mid-carder forever. Not because he deserves it, but because of how WWE is treating him.
He's a great wrestler, but he has no charisma. Wow. None at all.
Really?
I mean, yeah. The only reason he's there is because he can do a swing.
You know what? That's a really good point.
King of Swing.
I know.
It's dorky.
I know. It's really bad.
Swiss Superman is 1,000 times better. 100,000 times better.
No, it's really bad.
It sounds like he's a musician my mom listens to.
All right, Cockman. What do you think about what segments would you keep and what segments would you get rid of this week on Raw or NXT or TNA or whatever?
He'd get rid of none. He likes it long.
Go. Lock it Raw. Yeah. Bits that I didn't like the Daniel Bryan segment. I've got to be honest.
Really?
Like the
It wasn't that brutal.
It wasn't.
No,
it wasn't nearly as brutal as when Triple H beat his ass.
You know what was more brutal from Kane? One move, chokeslam Punk through a table.
Yep.
Yep. That's what we had to do.
So you want to get rid of the Daniel Bryan segment. What would you, here on the DSJNP.com podcast, we like to replace things with better things. So what would you do in place of it?
I would just improve the beatdown. That's all I
would
do.
So what would you do? Would you add the choke slam to the table or something else? What would you do?
Choke slam through the table, maybe throw him on the barricade a little bit more.
Okay.
And that tombstone on that on the steel stairs looked really bad, I have to say. Just the way that Daniel Bryan pulled it off, I thought it was, or sold it, was pretty poor.
I thought the fall was pretty good.
Nah, I don't know.
You just didn't.
I would improve that.
Yeah, you didn't like the whole thing, did you?
No. Yeah. It just looked weak. It didn't look like a beatdown.
What about like a tombstone on a chair in the middle of the ring?
Yeah, that would have been better. And if the bit with Stephanie was good. I have to say that was good.
Yeah, Stephanie and Triple H were my my two best of the week this week. They did really well this week.
Yeah, I reckon the Bo Dallas segments are fantastic, and Stephanie was great.
I'm so tired of Bo Dallas. My eyes hurt.
I even thought that Adam Rose's thing was good.
Oh, so I can't stand Adam Rose. Well, Cock, you need to join us next week.
I think I should. I didn't know it was a podcast. There we go.
Yeah, man.
I thought we were just having a talk.
No, man. I do a podcast every week. Usually around Tuesday, 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. I don't know. What time is it there?
It's lunchtime.
Oh, shit. So you can, like, record if you're off. Yeah.
Yep.
Oh, sweet. I'm going to have the cock every week now this week, guys. Yay!
Oh, yeah. Cock every week.
Cock every week. Dude, trust me, you have no idea. I have a British friend. He loves the cock, too. Commentators say the craziest things, man. What'd you hear from JBL and the rest this week that really, really set your hair on fire?
Nothing. I have to say I hate the commentary team. Michael Cole does a good job. Jerry Lawler is so lame, and so is JBL, I've got to be honest. They didn't set my hair on fire.
they didn't set your hair on fire at all? Okay, all right.
Nope.
And what do you think was the best of this week? Again, it could be anything. It doesn't have to be Raw. It could be SmackDown. It could be NXT. It could be TNA. It could be anything.
I think it was the Rod Van Dam versus Cesaro match. I thought that was pretty good.
You did?
Yeah, I thought it was fun.
What about the first, 5 minutes of it?
I didn't watch the first 5 minutes. I watched the last bit.
Oh, okay. Well, you should go back and watch the first 5 minutes because Rob Van Dam, nothing. He doesn't hit anything right, Rob Van Dam. He was still high from 420.
Why do they keep bringing Rob Van Dam back?
I have no idea. Literally no idea. I don't know why they keep bringing Rob Van Dam back. Because he gets a pop every time he walks out of the building?
I guess so. Just the expressions from Rod Van Dam at the end of the match made it for me. He looked so fucking high.
He did.
He did not know what was going on.
He did. I didn't even think about that. He did look high. Do you guys have legalized marijuana in Australia?
Do we have what?
Legalized marijuana in Australia.
I mean, it's not legalized, but
it's there.
We have it.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Fair enough. No, we got two states that are legal in the United States. Recreation legal.
Colorado, right?
Well, yeah. Colorado and Washington. Shit. We're working on it, man. We're working on it. We're getting better.
I mean, we don't have, it's not legal here, but it's not monitored either.
Oh, really?
Yeah. We have wild bushes and stuff.
Wow. You can like, just go pluck it and dry it out and smoke it?
We can just go pluck it, eat it, pick up the butts, whatever.
Whatever, man. All right. What do you – you got any rants this week? You got anything you want to change? Anything you want to improve upon? What you got?
Nothing really. The Kane beatdown definitely needs improving.
Yeah.
Cena's – oh, I'm so sick of Cena, man. So sick of Cena.
My call was about Cena this week.
Was it? Oh, yep. I'm not too far into the show.
Yep, it was about Cena this week.
What, did you think it was good?
No, Cena's match was, let's see, what did I use? Lazy, I believe the word was. Lazy and pathetic. Lazy and pathetic about the way he took the beating from the Wyatts down. And I believe they should go a totally different way with his character.
Yeah, so do I. But I think it was funny how all the fans voted for him to in a handicap match. I thought that was pretty good.
Yeah, he actually looked really disappointed by that, didn't he?
Yeah, he looked really surprised.
He did. He looked genuinely surprised. I was like, wow, okay.
And then Wyatt singing to finish off Raw, that was pretty cool. I like that. I'm loving Wyatt.
Yeah, everyone's loving Wyatt. Even Rocky Mountain High is like, I'm a Wyatt fan now. Now, you don't get the network, do you?
Nope.
So, after Raw went off the air, the Shield came out and chased the Wyatts away.
Oh.
What do you think about that?
I don't know. I want to separate the Shield and the Wyatts. So, I really like their matches, but I don't want them to touch each other. Until in 5 years' time, where the Wyatts make a reunion and the Shield make a reunion, and we get that epic moment where these two epic factions collide. But I hope WWE don't give us too many matches between them, so it doesn't become special sort of thing.
Mm-hmm. So you think the Wyatts are going to split up eventually?
Yeah, I think Luke Harper is going to stab Bray Wyatt in the back. I think he's going to come back into the norm, and I think he's going to be a comedy character. Hopefully not, but that's how I see
it. Holy crap. What the heck makes you think that?
Because I don't know. I think WWE like Luke Harper. I think they do, but I think they will split. I don't know what they'll do with Eric Rowan. Maybe he'll become a comedy character, but I'm making a prediction that either Luke Harper or Eric Rowan will become a comedy character until they reform.
Oh my god, holy crap. I've never heard anybody say that ever.
The cock's controversial.
he's very controversial. I'm liking my Australia friend, my new friend from Australia. I like him now.
Hell yeah.
Okay. I don't see Luke Harper or Eric Rowan ever doing anything else. Okay, maybe Luke, but not Eric. I don't see Eric ever doing anything outside of the Wyatts. I just don't. I don't know. I just don't, man.
I think they're going to try it. I think they will try it, and I don't think it'll work.
So you think Bray's going to stop his whole, like, I am the demon or whatever he's doing?
I don't think Bray Wyatt will stop that. I think he'll move on to something else creepy, but Eric Rowan or Luke Harper, one of them, or maybe even, I see both of them as a tag team winning the tag team gold, but then I see them breaking off from the Bray Wyatt, not together. But yeah, trying something else.
So do you think Bray is going to bring in other people to his flock?
Maybe. I mean, I think the Bray Wyatt flock might become something like the Undertaker streak, where if you join, it's like it's a way to push a new guy, something like that. But I don't know.
Wow. I agree with that. I think that could be a thing.
It could work.
I think it could work. You know, you join Bray Wyatt, you're going to be a made man eventually. You know, he can talk all the smack in the world. But after John Cena, what else does he have to talk about?
Triple H. But yeah, that's sort of a problem.
You know, it'd be cool if he talked about, if he turned his attention towards Stephanie.
me and Stephanie join the block.
I don't think that's ever going to... Ooh, what if she was Sister Abigail?
Linda McMahon? Maybe she's Sister Abigail.
Yeah, I don't think she's Sister Abigail. I think if anybody's Sister Abigail, it's definitely Stephanie. Linda, Linda's really old at this point. We looked it up today. Vince is 68. Shit. Yeah.
You know how Dan was saying about that something else is going to happen bad?
Yeah, yeah, I didn't feel that at all.
I'm getting that feeling, and I'm getting that feeling towards Vince.
No, Vince is fine.
Nope.
Just nope. That's it? That's all you got for me? Nope.
He's going to die.
He's not going to die. I hope you know I'm going to broadcast this.
Here's a prediction for everyone. Bray okay. Wyatt is going to kill Vince McMahon live on Raw.
All right, guys. That was the cock. That was the cock on the DSJNP.com podcast. Enjoy. Hope you enjoy. Have a great week. Yes, the man. Oh, what the rock is. And that's the bottom line. The Stone Cold.